you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat, and WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Good afternoon. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM Accra. I'm Victor Mandolia.
And this is John King.
And we are here with Kathy Germain. Kathy is the
Vice President of Housing Services at RUPCO.
And RUPCO is a housing agency down in headquarters in Kingston,
right,
but
so
expanding.
We're a nonprofit agency. We work very broadly in housing. In the last few years, we've really expanded our programming into other communities, so including Greene County.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that I think these things are in people's mind because of the cost of rentals and about the cost of housing in general in our area. So why don't you first give us a brief overview of what RUPCO does? I mean, I guess a lot of people will say, well, what does RUPCO stand for? I know that you don't really...
That is actually my first question as well.
Okay, well, I will go through that. So RUPCO is a rural preservation company, one of a number of them throughout the state. There is also another rural preservation company here in Catskill and Greene County, mm-hmm, who's active. And our name was Rural Ulster Preservation Company. That's how we were founded in 1981. But what we found is over the last 5 to 7 years, our services were needed outside of Ulster County. So we actually went through all the whole name branding exercise and found out that people identified us as RUPCO. So we just kept the name.
Mm-hmm. It works out very nicely, doesn't it?
It does.
So what is a rural... what is it? So it's a rural...
A rural preservation company is a designation from the state. So we receive funds from the legislature every year, all the rural preservation companies. In communities where there's cities, there's neighborhood preservation companies. So I'm not sure exactly of the number of them, but they really, the rural preservation program in New York State really helps provide operating dollars that are really hard to come by when you're running a lot of different programs, mm-hmm, to really help sustain us. And we're able to take that money and then really leverage it and expand it.
That's interesting. So when you're talking about rural preservation, what is it specifically that they would like to preserve? Is it community character? Is it jobs? Is it housing? I mean, what do they identify as their priorities?
So there's a number of priorities. Community development is one. Housing preservation is another, home ownership, supporting folks that are in affordable rental properties. So the mission or the breadth of the Rural Preservation Company can be very broad.
Yeah, that sounds quite expansive.
And RUPCO's a pretty broad agency too. So we have a real estate development arm that does affordable development. We have a large property management component, so we manage and or own over 440 units throughout Ulster County. We're actually just preparing to work with a developer here in Prattsville. We will be marketing the units at the Muse, which is, I think, 36 units for seniors over 62, and 7 family townhomes, 2 or 3 bedroom. And those, of course, have income restrictions attached to them. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a great opportunity for the folks to get in there in brand new housing. Mm-hmm. And the location is great. I believe there's even some kind of a health facility on the the site as well. So
not quite an independent living center, but more services that might be provided if you were just living in an apartment.
Yes, correct. Mm. And that's not really my area of expertise. Where my area of expertise is really in the housing programs that we run. Mm-hmm. So I oversee the Home Ownership Center. So what we do is we help create homeowners. We have a number of resources to really help and make the first-time homebuyer purchase A, easier, and B, more accessible, and C, really can provide some gap financing and resources so folks of more modest incomes can also achieve the dream of homeownership. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stop for a moment. It is our pledge drive, and if you would give us a call here at the station and make a contribution and recognize that at issue brings quite a bit to the table. We've interviewed probably over 100 and change of it's been almost 7 years that we've been doing this. So we brought a lot of great discussions to the table, and what we're asking for you to do right now is to give us a call here at the station at 518-697-7400, or you could go and donate online at wgxc.org/donate. You can even send a check if you would like to send a check. You could do that as well. You send it to WGXC Hudson Studio. It's 369. No, actually, you could bring it to our studio, which is in the ground floor of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. That's 369 Warren Street. Or you can mail it in to WGXC, care of Wave Farm. That's our parent organization. 5662 Route 23 in Acre, New York, 12405. So the first-time home buyers programs is it one of the bigger pieces of RUPCO? They don't really compete, of course, but
I think it's one of the
it's a core piece.
A substantial business line in what we do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Last year we assisted 103 first-time home buyers purchasing their home. Mm-hmm. I have a full-time staff of 8. Mm-hmm. So the work we do at the Home Ownership Center is even broad. Not only do we help first-time home buyers, but we do a lot of single-family repair. We package USDA direct loans, which are great for rural communities mm-hmm. that have really good terms and low interest rates.
And from what I understand, also can be as low as no money down.
That is correct. Right. You can fold the closing cost in, and sometimes even minor repairs, mm-hmm.
depending
on the repayment ability.
So what we're about to talk about really is about how can an average person of modest means buy a home and afford a home, and from there are programs to help people even if they don't have a lot of savings and even if they don't have great credit, right? So you have to have decent credit.
Absolutely.
But there are a number of ways of fixing credit that really don't take a lot of time. I mean, I just did it myself on some stuff, and I was surprised that I just challenged it, and they took them off. I couldn't believe it. So tell us about how people first make contact with your organization. How do they get plugged into the programs and that kind of stuff?
Because this is something that I'm sure a lot of people would love to know about if they're interested in buying homes, and having a little extra hand-holding could go a long way towards helping them navigate that process. So How do they come to you?
So it's interesting because we do have a lot of financial resources, and I'll talk a little bit about the major programs in a minute. But I think the most value added that we have is my experienced staff that have been doing this for over 10 years. So they really have seen almost every credit issue. how to overcome different hurdles like student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And basically, we meet people where they are. So there are some people that come to us and their credit score is great, they have great income, and they're ready to move forward and purchase a home. So what we do is we look at that, we screen them for a number of different programs and resources that we have. So we have a down payment assistance program, and that's a $10,500 0% deferred interest loan. And I know the term sounds scary, but what it really means is that you, as long as you stay in the home, you don't repay the grant, and it is 0% interest and deferred. So there are no payments. We have a new grant program. This down payment assistance program is deferred until you sell your home. Mm-hmm. So we find that cash is pretty much the biggest barrier that first-time home buyers have. It's hard to get together the money for the closing cost and the down payment to purchase the home.
Right.
So this gives people
especially when you're paying an exorbitant amount of rent.
Exactly. So this gives people an opportunity to get into home ownership. I think the statistics say that the wealth and the net wealth worth of a homeowner is $180,000. And it's $8,000 for a renter. Mm-hmm. So home ownership is a critical wealth building equity.
Right.
In addition to having a place to call your own, being able to paint the walls the color you want, the kids go to the same school.
Let the dog out in the backyard if you want.
Or you could have two dogs, right? You can't do that in a lot of other units. So, so we have the down payment assistance program. We have a match savings program where you choose to work with a local bank, you sign up and you deposit $187 for 10 months. So at the end, it's $1,875. And when you want to purchase your home and you're ready to do so, the Federal Home Loan Bank will match your savings 4-to-1 up to $7,500. And if anybody knows about real estate transactions, $7,500 is about what you need for closing costs.
Right. And
I'm sorry, can we back up again? That's $187, right, that you put into a local bank, which then gets matched 4-to-1. Okay, so how does $187 become that $1,800?
187 times 10 is 1875.
Well, I knew that. Okay, yes, okay, yes, gotcha. Yes. Okay. That one I got.
I was like, and then what they do is for every dollar you save, they can match up to $4 with a maximum being $7,500.
I see.
So what this program does is get people in the habit of used to savings and used to making regular payments. Because if you don't deliver, if you screw up and you don't make the payments as required, you don't get the payout, and it's like and you must do it for at least the minimum of 10 months.
Right. So it is kind of like a training period to try to discipline yourself. We'll talk a little bit about how much it costs to rent versus own, you know, maybe sometime during the program. But, you know, most people have additional expenses when they become a homeowner, even if it's not their housing payment.
Right.
Because then now you have a box and you have to fill up this box with your stuff, and you need a lawnmower and a snow blower, that stuff. So it really helps prepare people to budget. And the great thing is even after the $7,500 grant, most people get to retain that $1,875 in that savings account. So they have some emergency savings for when the sink faucet doesn't work, to do those minor things. So the third resource that we have
The match savings program is an outright grant. That's not payable back.
That is again a 0% deferred interest loan that goes away after 5 years.
Right. Okay.
And then it's satisfied.
Yeah. So if you live in the property for 5 years,
exactly,
it's a complete grant.
And the reason why those types of terms are attached to these grants is basically they want to make sure that their investment is to the homeowner in that property. Mm-hmm. So we're not attracting investors who come in and then flip the property,
flip it, right.
And then
That's all well and good, but but the government is not going to support.
I'm sure there's also an investment in the community there. I mean, when someone lives in a house for 5 years, there's a benefit to the community, and they become part of the fabric of that community.
Absolutely, I agree.
So, just for a point of clarification, so a first time home buyer is not only a first time home buyer.
That
right?
is correct.
It's not, so it is.
It is you. Cannot own a home for 3 years or be on the deed of a property for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Or if the term is displaced homemaker, which is a little outdated, I would
really
say.
Really lame term.
But what it means is that if you are displaced due to separation or divorce, mm-hmm. that 3 year term is then waived. Mm-hmm. So you can own a home, not own a home, and then 5 years later come back in and qualify for a first-time home buyer program.
Right. So, I'm working with somebody right now. The divorce decree makes them sell the house. So so it's not really any fault of their own that they don't own a home. I get it. So you were going to tell us about another arm of the first-time home
buyers. Right. Okay. So what we have now that we're really promoting and we really are hoping people are able to access quickly is we secured funding specifically for Greene County for first-time home buyers. So we have funds from the New York State Local Home Program, and these funds can be used for down payment, closing cost, and most importantly, in most cases, post-closing repairs. So we all know the housing stock is aging. We all know that if you're going to purchase a house under $158,000, chances are it may need a heating system, it may need a roof, it may need new windows. Mm-hmm. And so most of the grants that we administer through RUPCO have a housing repair component to it, only because the last thing you want to do is have everybody put all of their savings into a home where we know 2 years down the road the roof is going to fail. Mm-hmm. It's hard to come back from that. So it's a really comprehensive look at to make sure that you're in the best position to be successful as a homeowner. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make sure your ratios are in line, that the payments are affordable. We're going to help you with down payment and closing cost assistance if the cash is an issue. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, after you get your home inspection, our rehab specialist will then review that and go to the home and identify any repairs that we want to do as part of the grant program. Mm-hmm. So the average grant per household is about $25,000, but we have flexibility to go up higher than that, over $35,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we can identify a house that needs work and be able to cure most of those deficiencies, mm-hmm. And still be able to get the person in the home. So you're kind of achieving two missions. You're creating a home buyer and you're preserving housing stock that's in disrepair.
Mm-hmm. And getting them set up for success in that home. Right?
Exactly.
Now, what happens when there are repairs that were not foreseen by your inspectors when they come in? You know, somebody calls and said, hey, I thought everything was great and my roof is in my basement right now and that's probably not awesome.
We have done... I won't say that that's never happened, but I can only, I think of, out of the 700 home buyers we've assisted, I can only think of one time where a major repair actually happened. So we're really good at catching stuff, and that's also why we want to make sure people have some savings put aside. So when you work with us and you have $5,000 in the bank, we're not going to make you put that whole $5,000 towards a transaction, mm-hmm. because we want to make sure that you have some type of reserve to be able to deal with those issues. We do have programs for homeowners. So what we have done in a couple critical times is they received a homeowner grant, but then we were able to grant them dollars through a different program to address like a major issue that happens. Mm-hmm. But we really, luckily, knock on wood, have not really run into that.
So if we're talking about roughly $10,000 for the down payment assistance program, mm-hmm. you're talking $7,500 for the first home club, and then in Greene County, another 25 or perhaps even more. I mean, this mm-hmm. is substantial money. Is for if you're talking about 40 grand of a property that I think the limit is
158,000.
58. Okay. So, I mean, that's a substantial. Putting 40 down on a house like that is and that's not even including the repair
the value of the repair.
So. This is really amazing. I mean, there's like, you know, people have to understand that, like, they could, even if they are of modest means, even if they don't have much money in the bank, even if they have not great credit, mm-hmm. they can still qualify for these programs.
Right. So like I said before, some people come in mortgage ready, others come in and they're on a different time frame. Maybe they're not sure if they want to be a home buyer yet.
Haven't filed taxes in a number of years.
Well, we haven't had that. But
I have, as a brother.
What do you do in those situations?
You have to file your taxes.
That's basically your only option, yes. So, but we do have people that have credit glitches. I mean, first of all, I think
student loans are a big one, right? I mean, I run into it constantly, but it doesn't mean that it has to hold you back.
So 25% of all credit reports have errors.
Right.
So one of the first things we do is when we sit down and meet with a new prospective home buyer, we're going to do a thorough review. We're going to pull a tri-merge credit report, which is what a lender would do. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through their credit with them.
That sounds terrifying, by the way.
issues. It's not terrifying when you do it with the folks that
kind of problems every day, I'm sure.
That know that they're doing and that they've seen people be successful, even folks with major collection accounts, with a bankruptcy. So we've had very good success with people being motivated by home ownership. Mm-hmm. You know, to make some changes or to fix the credit. And we can help with that. Student loan debt the same way. So many, many people are facing a dilemma because mortgages, in order for them to be affordable, have a ratio. So the front end ratio is what the housing payment is. So really, you should be paying no more than 30% of your income for your housing. Why? So you can afford food, car, insurance, maybe a vacation, maybe some new, you know. So, and then there's a back end ratio that lenders use. And the back end adds the housing with your monthly debts. So if I am somebody with student loan debt and I have a credit card, minimum payment $25, I have a car payment $300, but then I have a student loan payment of $200, that really lowers my purchasing power. Mm-hmm. But our counselors are actually receive training in continuing education. There are a lot of things moving in the student loan space that have changed that allow people to restructure their loans mm-hmm. in such a way or do an income-based repayment.
Right.
That allows us more flexibility.
Thanks, Obama.
Are these, these are basically refinances on a longer term?
I believe so.
Sometimes they could be complete wiping away if somebody is disabled. There's a number of ways of teachers can get their debt wiped off. The income-based, I'm dealing with this myself. So the income-based programs could be as much as zero a month. So it's you will have a while before you have to start paying any higher.
And what we're looking at is how can we best position you to get a good mortgage loan? Mm-hmm. So the philosophy about deferring is one philosophy, but our philosophy is going to be strictly looking towards the goal of homeownership. Mm-hmm. How can we restructure this to give you the maximum purchasing power?
So you would actually want people to refinance to a longer term to get that monthly payment down?
We have done that. That's not what I do. I have very qualified people that do that every day.
No. What is your philosophy on that? I'm just curious to know.
It depends on every situation is individual. So I don't know if there's a one size fits all.
Is there like make this huge cash payment and then try and get it down?
like I said, the scenarios that we see are so different and so unique. I don't think that there is. I think that's why, again, I said the biggest value was working with our staff. That's the knowledge that they have. And they can look at your individual situation and help you evaluate and give you your options. Mm-hmm. We're not going to tell you what to do.
Right.
We're going to give you the options that you have available to you.
Some strategies.
Right. And then you move forward as you want to proceed.
So my understanding of these programs is that what really unlocks the door is taking the first-time home buyer's course. Is that correct? On almost all of them, you have to do that?
Right. So we offer a mortgage readiness assessment, and we offer home buyer education. So our home buyer education course is offered either online at your convenience, or we have in-person courses where you can actually have an opportunity to meet home buying professionals. You'll meet a realtor, you'll meet a lender, you'll meet an attorney, an insurance guy, home inspector, and you'll see from their perspective, and you'll be able to ask them questions from their knowledge base that can help you make better decisions. It is a very big investment, probably one of the biggest investments we make. Mm-hmm. And the education is only 8 hours. We do 2 3-hour sessions in person, and the online is 8 hours, and you could take it all at once or in little snippets. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to get the basics, if you go to our website, www.rupco.org, and if you click on the Home Ownership Center tab, you will see an online orientation, and you'll be able to look at 5-minute videos that really break down the home buying process, as well as give you information on most of the services that RUPCO offers. Mm-hmm.
And I took the first-time home buyers course when it was offered here in Columbia County with Housing Resources. And while I couldn't use the savings program or anything because I did a private mortgage, the course was amazing. It was great. I mean, it was so helpful for me to be ready to buy. I learned about mortgages, which I had no idea about, you know, previously, and the home inspection, the importance of a home inspection and all that. So I think people should not see it as a chore to take this course.
No.
because you really will learn the stuff that you need to know in order to do it. And,
right.
And certainly this
really
is not
helpful
stuff that they teach you in high school. I'm not sure why they don't teach us this stuff in high school.
They do not teach
but they do not teach
school
us this,
no,
stuff in high school. So when is the next course coming up in your office? That's a very interesting
question.
We'll try
to find
out. I know that actually we do have an education. We do have a home buyer education in-person class that we're running this month. I do not know the date, but if you go to www.rupco.org or give us a call at the office, we can certainly help you get enrolled in that. So I guess now's a good time to talk about how you access the program.
Right.
So we now have an online portal, customer portal. So we're no longer doing paper applications. We're no longer doing mandatory 1-hour orientations. You can either sign up through the website and it will prompt you to create an account. Then you'll set up a profile. The profile generates some basic information that lets us know what you're interested in, where you're interested in purchasing, and give you a little dashboard based on what you perceive your income, savings, and assets to be, so you get to see a picture of what your purchase power may be. And then we have you upload a couple documents to the system, and that allows us to get a full picture and really be able to identify where you are in the mortgage readiness, also what resources we have that you could be eligible for.
Now, we didn't really talk much about the repair programs that you do for current homeowners, right? So, no, it's not necessarily your section, but maybe we could just chat a little bit just about that. Because so programs that RUPCO offers are not only for first-time homebuyers. They're also for current homeowners, right?
That is correct. We're not only doing homeownership promotion, we're doing homeownership preservation. Mm-hmm. So we have an unsolicited wait list in Ulster County of about 120 low-income households, owner-occupied folks that do not have the resources to repair their homes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of repairs are we talking about here? Are these like holes in the wall or are these
They're
lack
mostly,
of walls?
I would say, well, roofs are definitely usually the top. Then heating systems, electrical updates. We do a lot of windows. Some facades, some structural like front porches mm-hmm. that haven't been maintained for a while.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple around here I could point out.
need to be done. So that program is unfortunately a waitlist program because even though we complete 30 to 50 housing rehabs every year, the waiting list doesn't necessarily shrink.
So that's about a 2-year wait. Now, if you have a roof, that could be a long wait.
Right. We do have, again, this is an Ulster County program, not a Greene County program, but we do have a Restore program that is for emergency assistance for seniors in their homes. So if you do have that type of a leaky roof, you can access that program if you're in Ulster County. And basically, the way we expand our programming is we identify needs within communities. I think the reason we wrote the Greene County grant was we were seeing the people in our pipeline, looking at the shrinking inventory in Ulster County, looking at the property taxes, and seeing Greene County as an affordable option. Mm-hmm. So we saw the need, we saw the opportunity, and now we created a program to deal with that opportunity. We were just, I believe, we're about to get funded for a rehab grant for the town of Saugerty. Same thing. Mm-hmm. On our single family repair wait list, 30 of the people were from Saugerty's. So we approached the town and said, do you want to do a targeted homeownership rehabilitation program? Mm-hmm. So that's how we work within communities.
So when you go to municipalities and to do this or to talk about it, Are you usually met with acceptance, or do you get resistance from the local governments? How does it usually work for your
The phone rings a lot at RUPCO, and I'm not saying just for our housing programs. Uh-huh. So there are a lot of underserved communities in the area, and where we can't meet the needs of everybody in all communities, where we have an opportunity and where we have an expertise, I think we bring real value mm-hmm. to communities.
So speaking of unmet needs, Columbia County has a great unmet need because of the takeover by Galvin what was Columbia County Housing Resources is now Galvin Housing Resources, but they have eliminated most of the first-time home buyers programs. From what I understand, they're still doing some of the home repair programs, but it doesn't seem to be as robust as it once was. So is there a possibility for Columbia County residents to get plugged in with RUPCO, and are they able to access these grants as just like anybody in Ulster or Greene can, or is it a different situation?
Right now, yeah, if I want to take a first-time home buyer's course and I live in Columbia County, is that something that RUPCO says, no, I'm sorry, you might as well be from Mars?
Absolutely not. So anybody has access to the online education, and the online web-based education is good, but we always like to have that face-to-face. So even if you're taking online education, we're going to want to sit down with you and connect with you to make sure, because sometimes what the dashboard reads on the computer screen, we have resources that can overcome those obstacles. Mm. For example, the USDA 502 direct loan, that can be 100% financing. There's no private mortgage insurance, and that can run people anywhere between $100 to $150 a month. That money increases your purchasing power. Mm-hmm. They'll fold in repairs, and depending on your income, they will subsidize the interest rate down to 1%.
Wow,
that's amazing.
So we can get people in homes that are $180,000 that are of moderate means. And I believe all of Columbia and Greene County are eligible.
Right. Yes.
So that's one program that...
Even in the city of Hudson or the village of Catskill.
You can immediately call us and we will package a 502 direct loan with you and walk you through the process and be there at closing and now match you up with additional resources.
These loans tend to take a little bit longer, I guess, than usually a conventional mortgage, I guess. Is that right?
Well... That's not really what we see. We have a really good relationship with the Syracuse office. Mm-hmm. So, of course, from a real estate perspective, you get paid. Then, you get paid at the closing.
FHA
so every day.
Takes a long time,
okay, so I don't really find that it's that much more than a regular conventional loan.
Connections matter,
right? I mean, we're on the phone with Syracuse. You know, at least for Frank is on the phone with Syracuse at least. Two or three times a week.
Right.
We closed 31 USDA loans last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we got people into houses that probably wouldn't have gotten into houses
right.
otherwise. And some people got our grant funds, and some of them just got the loan because they had the other resources.
So I have to say, you know, I used to work in back-end mortgages and in back-end mortgage processing. One of the things we saw going up to 2008 was sort of this idea that housing can't go down. This is a great investment, and this is obviously a safe investment. And I was working with mortgage lenders, and I was seeing some of their customers, and I thought, my God, there's no way this person can repay this loan. They've got a balloon payment in 5 years. Well, and then looking at someone else in the same neighborhood, I thought, oh, my God, there's no way this person can pay this loan. Oh, look, they've got a balloon payment in 5 years. You know, and you kind of do the math. The housing market could not sustain itself at that model. What have we learned since then? And how have we applied these lessons?
Not to put you on the spot.
Not to put you on the spot.
I think there have been books written on that.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, actually, we responded very quickly to the foreclosure crisis. So in 2007, 2008, we were just flooded with phone calls. And it probably took about 2 years before the funding actually caught up to really support staff. And then we got great programs like Making Home Affordable, HAMP, that really gave people an opportunity to restart. So we were able to help hundreds of people probably stay in their home through those programs. Those programs have sunsetted. I can tell you that there are still people that have defaulted in 2009 and are still in their homes and are really limited in their solutions, and there's some people that had to transition out of their homes. But as far as sustainability goes, I think working with an agency like RUPCO gives you an insulation factor, especially because we've seen both sides of it. We know what it's like on the other side when the loan goes bad. So we keep those parameters tight. And we're only going to give you information that we feel will benefit you. A mortgage broker is trying to sell a loan.
Certainly.
So we're that third party, like a neutral intermediary.
Right. You're going to say, these are your means. This is how you can do it. There's that educational component as well.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had people, I would spend my days speaking to homeowners, and they'd be like, yeah, no, well, you know, the broker said it's going to be fine. And I just thought, wow. I got in the wrong business. I could have made a lot of money.
they were very scary times.
They were very scary times. And to be fair, I also had a friend who made a lot of money as a mortgage broker. And he was like, I mean, this is what I was told to do. I was doing my job. But, you know, I didn't think that he was an evil person. But my God.
If you're just joining us, we're with Kathy Germain. Kathy is the Vice President of Housing Services at RUPCO. RUPCO is a rural preservation agency based in Kingston, but now with a Catskill office and looking at doing some things in Columbia County as well, it seems,
sure.
Right? A real need here. If I wanted to just stop again just to let you know that it is our pledge drive. It's Radio Everywhere pledge drive. And, you know, we've recently moved to new studios here at the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson. We're so thrilled to be here. We're so thrilled at the generosity of the First Presbyterian Church to welcome us here. And This is also going to be my last show doing At Issue. I've been doing the show since the beginning, except a couple of hiatuses when I was running for office. But I love this radio station. I love doing the work here and having the platform. It's been harder and harder to make the time to do this show properly. So I'm going to step away at least for a while. But I really just want to convey the importance of what we have here in that there are so many different voices that are on this station. There's so many different sounds and music and programming that you just simply won't hear anywhere else. Even a local NPR station sort of sounds corporate when you compare it to what goes on here at the station. We
have,
you know, it is corporate.
I mean, certainly, we live in a rich, vibrant community.
Not to slam a local radio, so no, NPR radio.
And certainly, we live in a rich, vibrant community, and you know, community radio is, you know, I think one of the foundational stones and one of the pieces that that best and most clearly expresses that. Mm-hmm. The variety of opinions and talents that we have in our community and people who are willing to step up and spend some time giving back this way, I think. I'm happy to be a part of it.
And, you know, you can get your own show here too. I mean, you know, I mean, all of us that on this station, we just applied for a show and they gave it to us. So, you know, that's empowering. That is using the ability of the airwaves to create your own platform to do whatever. It could be gardening, horoscopes, anything that you do, or a show like this where it's about civic affairs.
But if you don't want to apply for your own show, maybe think about donating.
So
if you can't give time, just give money.
The easiest way to donate is to go to wgxc.org. So that's WG, like girl, X, like xylophone, C, like Charlie, .org, and just click donate and make a donation. You can make it recurring. It's one of our favorite ways to accept donations because we know that we can count on that money week after week. And it can also be a small amount. We accept donations of any amount. And your small donation of $5, $10, you know, $15, it adds up with the other small donations that we get to much larger donations. So we hope that you will give us a call here or go to the website. It's wgxc.org/donate, or you can click donate on the main page. And you could also call us here at the station. It's 518-697-7400. And where else are you going to hear how you could get into a home for no money down and even get the home fixed up? I mean, that's you're not going to hear that on any other station in this area, only here. So show us that you appreciate what you're hearing and make a donation right now to WGXC. So, Kathy, what have we not touched on? Well, first of all, we should, again, tell people the website is rupco.org.
So
it's the main page.
So if you're interested in learning more about RUPCO or learning more about how to access the homeownership program and the resources we have, the website is www.rupco.org, RUPCO. Our phone number, for those of you that are not tech-savvy, is 845-331-9860. For those of you in the listening area that are actually shopping for a home right now in Greene County, we would love for you to call the office. We have a very quick phone screening that helps us determine initially whether you're eligible for the Greene County grant. So that's a very quick way to see if you can access $25,000 or more towards your home purchase. So I would recommend you go to the website. When you get on our website, you're going to see a home ownership tab. You click on the home ownership tab and you're going to see the first time home buyer button. You click that, and then there's a 1-minute video on our services. And then you could start building your profile. And if you run into any problems on the website, we have a computer kiosk in our office. We're willing to come into Greene County or Columbia County to do classes or to hold counseling sessions as needed. So we are available to you, and please just reach out.
That sounds wonderful.
And we did one recently. My agency hosted just a couple of hours for potential first-time home buyers. That a rep from your organization came and spoke at. And I mean, people really left energized and really excited about it. And I know that quite a bit of them have already reached out and called your mm-hmm. agency. There's a little, when you go to the first-time home buyer or the home buyer section, there's a button that says "Get Started,"
exactly.
which is the way to get started. And just start there. And fill out what they're asking for, and then I guess somebody from your agency reaches out to them as well.
Correct. So, and the other option is call our office. Daniela will actually set up your online account for you. You'll get an email link, and you'll have the first step already done.
You know, I think one of the things that people should realize is that in whatever way that they're going to make a purchase, if they say they have a lot of cash and they're going to be paying cash for a place, there's still things that you can help with. Or if you
Absolutely.
Have no money, if you have bad credit, or any of these situations, it doesn't mean that you can't figure those things out with the help of counselors at your agency. I think that's really powerful.
You know, whether you're just new to housing and you don't know what PMI is, or
right.
if you're
right.
a little bit further in and you're wondering about how, you know, getting a jumbo loan mm-hmm. is going to affect your taxes, like all of those things are areas that this agency has some expertise in, because it can be a little daunting and it's Byzantine. Mm-hmm. And as we said, none of this is stuff that you come out of high school
right.
knowing. And I would like to again take a moment to lament the fact that American schools don't teach basic finance.
We do have a financial coaching program as well. And that could also be offered in Columbia and Greene County.
Really? Tell us about that.
We have a great financial coach. I think the intake is one page. You can pull your credit report from annualcreditreport.com and bring it with you. And Lelania really sits down with you, reviews everything. But then it's really more focused on the financial goals that you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not us telling you that, why are you spending this much on this or this much on this or this much on this? It's more like...
Like 30% of your budget on bars, that's not good?
Well, I'm not
No judgments, right?
No judgment. That could be my budget, actually.
You want me to get it down to 30%?
Yes, I'm trying. Anyway.
Shouldn't pay more than 30% of your housing costs or
These people work
bars.
For tips, yeah.
So, but to get... So, I mean, credit is a real issue. Credit impacts your ability to get a car loan, to rent an apartment.
Insurance,
to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So credit is such an important vehicle. And again, they don't spend enough time in school talking about credit. So we can really help someone establish credit. We can help somebody that has bad credit correct some of the issues. But then a lot of people don't understand is then you have to reestablish credit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can help you. And people that have gone through a bad credit experience, when you tell them to go out and open 3 credit lines, they look at you like they're crazy.
Right.
but we can give you the guidance and the confidence you need, because even though you clean up your negative credit, the credit really doesn't rebound as high until you start reestablishing good credit. So that's really where we work with people.
Right. You know, I recently started working on mine, and I was surprised. I really focused on it for about 2 months, and I got it up to good rating
yeah.
and without much trouble, really.
Right.
I mean, it was just like, you know, fixing this account, getting rid of that charge off and stuff. And,
right.
and
sometimes it's just putting in a little bit of effort,
right.
you know, because
I was surprised that it wasn't as bad as I thought. Mm-hmm. I was always so nervous to pull the credit, because I thought it was going to be such a disaster. And it was actually it was Columbia Memorial Hospital, actually, you know, like for co-pays and stuff that hadn't been paid. I mean, it was just silly. It was like, it was for like $250 or something. It wasn't even, you know, it was like, but it was many of them, but just these little tiny amounts. It's crazy. But
Do you know, when I was in college, I kind of lived off my credit cards, and then I had, you know, moved to California and done my thing, and I had totally forgotten about it. And years later, I thought, God, I should look at my credit because I'm sure that it's really bad. And sure enough, I looked at it, and it was right at that 7-year mark, and it was really bad. And then I checked it again a few months later, and my score was so much better because it had all gone through that seven-year point, and all my bad stuff had just sort of fallen off. And then I had the opportunity to sort of rebuild that good credit, you know, and. Which is
sort of... So the moral is, like, don't be so afraid of it that you don't even look at it.
Or if you are going to ignore it, just ignore it for 7 years.
That doesn't always resolve all of the...
No, that is true. That's
so, and I have to tell you, more times than not, we see the medical collection. So lenders are now understanding that, and not that you don't have to pay them off or negotiate them down. Mm-hmm. But there is a recognition that... collections, medical especially, move to collections without necessarily you knowing that it's gone to collections. So we see a lot of that, and Lelania will get on the phone with the credit company and negotiate down the debt while you're sitting in the chair right next door.
My cousin is a bankruptcy attorney, and she said that, you know, most of the bankruptcy issues that she sees, you know, she said, first of all, it's interesting because you have to have so much money to file bankruptcy in the first place. You can't be, if you are, she tells people all the time, I'm sorry, but you're too poor to file bankruptcy. But she said that a lot of the bankruptcies that she sees are medical expenses that just kind of got out of control because you're really sick and you can't.
Because this country doesn't have universal health care.
Right. Another important discussion to have.
Right.
We could, but... You know, if a lot of that is what she sees, I mean, that can ruin your credit, which is amazing to me.
So and what have we not covered? So is there anything that you wanted to bring up that we haven't
done? I would like to specifically ask about, you know, RUPCO is for rural communities in general. One of the things I'm very interested in personally is the way that America seems to be sort of redesigning itself around urban spaces, which has left a different role for rural communities. In your time at RUPCO, have you seen a change in your mission, in what you do, or in the way that we think about our communities as being rural? I mean, you know, are we doomed to be weekend bedroom communities for city people? Do we have a life and vibrancy of our own?
You know, it's interesting because we're part of a national network called NeighborWorks America. They're having their 40th anniversary. So we have access as a NeighborWorks chartered organization to get great training and peer-to-peer support. And I actually just came from a full-day rural strategic planning session where minds from all over the country were identifying specifically rural issues.
Uh-huh.
And trying to find solutions to rural issues. So from that perspective, I think we have some extra support because we're part of that network. I would say that while RUPCO, even our name changed, we went from Rural Ulster to RUPCO because they're rural, right?
Right.
So we're about to complete a project in the city of Newburgh. 47 units, 15 buildings, historic preservation, rental rehab with the land bank in Newburgh. Are we seeing the river communities thrive? Absolutely. You guys are seeing the river communities thrive. Mm-hmm. So I think that expansion is happening, and that's a natural expansion. But I don't see rural going away. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are targeted programs for rural areas just as much as urban areas.
What do you see as the challenges that are specific to rural areas? I mean, is economic development the primary driver? Is it, you know, a lack of infrastructure that leaves communities really susceptible?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm... Not that I'm leading with that question.
infrastructure certainly relates to the ability to build housing, right? Because you need the infrastructure in order... to build the housing.
Right.
But also includes that, but it includes transportation systems.
That's what I was going to say. I think transportation is the biggest barrier. Okay, so Ulster County is so many square miles, it's the size of the state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard, it's an hour to get from one point of the county to the other point.
Right.
I'm sure we could say the same thing here, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to connect, and that's why we really thought this online portal and going to a web-based system, mm-hmm. and also at the same time having physical presence where we are having programming is absolutely necessary.
Right.
So the fact that we have the Greene County office, even though it's not for home ownership, it's for a different program, it gives us a local presence where we can push in support mm-hmm. to build a program.
So you mentioned For Another Program, but we haven't really touched on the Section 8 voucher program, right? Which is what you're running out of that office, I think.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So RUPCO is the administer in both Ulster and Greene counties for the Housing Choice Voucher Rental Assistance Program, probably most commonly known as Section 8 Rental Assistance. We have about 1,600 vouchers in Ulster County and 230 or 240 in Greene County. So, of course, we have way more need than we have vouchers. So from time to time, we open our wait list. Last time we opened our wait list in Ulster, I believe we got 1,500 applications. And from that, we weaned down to a wait list of about 1,000. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to move up the spectrum. You were talking about 2 years to get a roof. The Section 8 program wait right. list is a little bit harder to penetrate. The good news about the Greene County program is while the wait list is closed right now and it's not accessible, I have been told that in the near future, that wait list will probably be opening. So for both that project and the Prattsville project, the Muse that I was talking about earlier, you will know when the wait list is open and when you can apply for these programs, because we will blitz the community. Maybe even come on the show again mm-hmm. and make sure everybody knows that.
But that's also
available.
A good reason to connect with RUPCO in general, right? I mean, that's why, sure. you know, I mean, you'll be first to know if you're on the list, right?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, not the list, the other
right.
list. we're just about out of time, but any last thoughts?
I would, we have two events that are coming up, and if you want to go to our website, you can see a little bit more about them. But we developed a multi-generational affordable housing complex in Woodstock 5 years ago. That's our anniversary.
What is the name of that complex again?
Woodstock Commons.
Okay, yeah.
It took us 10 years to build it because of community resistance. Mm. So we're having a picnic. We call it Woodstock, where instead of 3 days, it's 3 hours of peace, love, and food. Maybe. But that is open to the community. And if you want to see what affordable housing really is and how amazing it really is and how fortunate the people are that live there are and grateful, please stop by. And then we also have our Celebrate Community, which is coming up on the 14th and, again, on the website.
So that's a big community fundraiser for RUPCO,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's our major fundraiser.
And you do it once a year?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where is this one being held?
This one's being held at the Saugerties Performing Arts Center.
Oh, very
so
nice.
So it's even closer to Greene County. so we're migrating north as well.
Right. Well, we want you to come east, too. Well, we really appreciate your time. So we've been with Kathy Germain, the Vice President of Housing Services at RUPCO.
And again, if you want to visit them, their website is
www.rupco.org.
And that is just as informative for those of you living in Columbia County
yes.
as for those living in Greene right. and even parts
correct.
Of
it's a great starting point, whether you are just tired of renting, you don't want to spend all that money on renting, or if you are planning on renting for a long term,
it's actually
a good starting point.
That's actually a great ending point. So a finance company in New York City just came out with an article that was published recently up here, I think in this community, that said that Greene County is the number one county in the state where it's cheaper to own than it is to rent, meaning that the average rental price in Greene County is $1,267 To own, it's $1,006.
So we'll have to leave it there. I want to just say it's been my great honor to host this show or co-host this show during the 7 years that we've been doing it here. I'm going to be stepping away at least for a while, but I will encourage you right now to give us a call or to go online, wgxc.org. Click on the donate button or give us a call here at the station at 518-697-7400. And
Victor, on behalf of myself and everyone at WGXC, I would like to thank you for volunteering your time and your talent over the last 7 years. I'm sure we've not seen or rather heard the last of you. So we would look forward to that in the future, but we wish you well in all your future endeavors.
Thanks so much, and thanks for co-hosting with me here.
And thank you, Kathy, for joining us today. For everyone, this is John Kane.
And I'm Victor Mandolia signing off on WGXC. Acra. This has been